Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah, you can give me some Eddie the rest of the way. I'm excited that Dan Miller decided to get up, and I know it's not easy. By the way, Detroit is Eastern time zone all year long, right? It is 8 a.m. It's 8:05 a.m. there, right? Do we have Dan or not?
I'm here. I'm awake.
I got you now.
Ready to roll.
I got you now. It's Eastern time zone.
It absolutely is, yes. We are right on the border of where you probably should be in the central. So the nice thing is, in the summer, we stay light till probably almost 10 o'clock. You can be on a golf course easy at 9:45. So it's great.
Yeah, that's the best thing about the westernmost part of an Eastern time zone is the summer. No doubt about it. Dan, many of you know, is the voice of the Detroit Lions. He's been the sports director at the Fox affiliate in Detroit for years. He started his career here as Doc Walker's co-host right here on what was then the Team 980 or whatever it was back then. And I was a devout listener. I won't come in, as I've done with you in the past, with the famous sound clip of Doc in studio, breaking wind at a pretty loud rate. But because we can't find it, we've been acquired. We've got a new owner, and so we've lost a lot of the sound. But I thought of you because obviously Martin Mayhew's about to become the general manager here, and he was there from 2008 through 2015, and I wanted to get the perspective of somebody that was there for his entirety of being the general manager. What did you think of Martin Mayhew then, and what is Washington getting now?
Well, let me say this first of all. I was thrilled when I saw that. I've known Martin forever. I covered him as a player when I was there, and then obviously we were in Detroit together. And know him, know his family. Number one, you're getting a great man. Number two, I think you're getting a guy who really deserves another shot. He did some good things here. He took over an 0-16 football team, and 3 years later had it in the playoffs. There's a lot of nuance to what happened, some good, some bad, but the fact is he got him back to relevance, had some bad luck with some injuries. Put together some very good teams, never could quite get over the hump and win a playoff game, but did get him back to the postseason a couple of times before he was let go, and some things caught up to him in terms of the salary cap and things like that. But I think you're getting a guy, look, general managers by nature are going to be hit and miss, and there's no way around that. You're not getting anybody who's done it before, who doesn't have some blemishes on his record and some really good things on his record. And I think Martin is a guy that I would put faith in to run my football team based on what I saw here. And I think probably he's a much better general manager now than when he left. And like I said, I think he did a pretty good job. And I think he's stayed in the league. He's stayed in the business. And I think he's certainly probably learned from what has happened here and learned from what has happened subsequent to that. So I'm thrilled for him, and I think you got a good man.
What was a move he was most congratulated for, and then the flip side, by fan base media, like what was he most criticized for?
Well, the latter is easy. That would be drafting Eric Ebron over Aaron Donald. That one, I think, will always be in Detroit Lions lore as just a real game changer, where they could have had, one of the greatest defensive tackles ever to play in this league. And they drafted a tight end who's solid, got some drop issues, but just, Eric will always be judged as the guy who was drafted instead of Aaron Donald, or instead of Odell Beckham Jr., who he was taking ahead of as well. But Donald is the one that sticks out. So I think that that kind of, if you're looking at the negative, that's what defines him. Look, he did some really good things in terms of drafting a Darius Slay in the second round. He turned into one of the best cornerbacks in the league. He was terrific. He had some, if you look back at what happened, some real tough issues with injuries. Lewis Delmas, a second round pick of safety, was really good but couldn't stay on the field. DeAndre Levy, a guy that he was looked at as overdrafting as a linebacker, turned into, you know, one of the best linebackers we've had here in years. Had some injury problems, career ended prematurely. Jahvid Best, explosive running back.
Right.
Part of that 2011 team that got off to a 5-0 start, ran into problems with concussions, which he had coming into the league, so you knew there was taking a risk. He got knocked out, didn't play again, and ultimately that really hurt that team, which looked like a terrific team. And then Ziggy Ansah, you know, explosive defensive end, could get after the quarterback. After a while, just had problems staying on the field. So I think those are kind of the hits and misses. You know, there are other ones that didn't work out. Ryan Broyles in the second round, Titus Young in the second round, Michael LaShour, second round. Those things didn't work out, but there was a lot of good. There was some bad luck. But, you know, just to kind of encapsulate what happened in the end, the Lions were terrific in 2014 defensively. They had a really good team. Like, if you look at the history of pro football since the merger, the Lions were one of the top 10 teams against the run in 2014. Got to the playoffs, went to Dallas. The picked up flag on the pass interference.
Horrible.
So that team got knocked out. That was his best team. That was the best team the Lions have had probably since the mid-90s. There were some problems there. They had an offensive coordinator who did not mix well with Matthew Stafford, so he had a really good defense and an offense that didn't really reach its potential. And then the next year, after that, they ran into some cap problems. They went to the wall to try to keep Ndamukong Suh, but they couldn't keep him. Nick Fairley left. That defensive line, which had been so dominant, just kind of fell apart. They come back in 2015 and just get off to a horrific start. I mean, at one point, I think they were 1-7 before they started turning things around. Martin Mayhew and Tom Lawan, the team president, got let go in season. So it went from really the best of times in 2014, where you had a real chance to get something done, to 2015, where everything fell apart, and Martin, you know, caught the bad end of that by losing his job at that point. But, you know, you look back on that and you say, okay, things really added up this year and aligned for them, but they could not get it done, and that hurt them.
We're talking to Dan Miller, the voice of the Lions in Detroit. You know, I've mentioned, I can't tell you how many times, and I do it with to piss off a lot of the Cowboy fans that call in here, but they got absolutely robbed in that playoff game in Dallas. That was an obvious defensive pass interference. I forget if it was against Pettigrew or Ebron, you would know. But they picked up that flag, and that was well on their way to building a 2-score lead in the fourth quarter, and they would have won that game. And I thought they were a legitimate threat to do some damage that year in the postseason. He also hired Jim Caldwell, right? Was that his call?
Yes. And he fought for that. That was not throughout that organization the guy that everybody wanted to go with, and Martin really fought for that, and he was right. And Jim Caldwell came in and did a great job. And let me just throw this in there. The pass interference is one thing. There should have been an immediate flag also on Dez Bryant running out of the field while his defense was on the field with his
right.
helmet off, screaming at an official to change the call. That should have been an immediate flag, but I digress.
It was a great team, and I remember betting Detroit, which turned in, I'm pretty sure, to a winner that day. I think they were +5 or something like that. I forget exactly what it was, but I just remember feeling like that team was really good and versatile and very good defensively. And I'm going to get to Stafford here with you in a moment, but I love that team, and I thought that team had a chance to make a run, and it got completely screwed. And Dallas got their one, you know, their one playoff winner. Maybe they got one against Philadelphia during the Romo era. And anyway, go ahead.
In in fairness, you know, they jumped up 14-0 in that game. They stopped scoring. And that offense, like I said, just never found its stride. And so there were some self-inflicted wounds with that team as well, where they could have, you know, finished things off. And I think that that ultimately would have been their undoing. Really good defense, not enough offense, even if you'd have gotten a little bit deeper in the playoffs. But it was a good team. And Jim Caldwell was a terrific hire. He is, you know, the best coach that we have had here in quite some time. And I'll be honest with you, I think on balance, Jim Schwartz, whom he hired before that, did a lot of good things. It's just that that one kind of ran its course. And I think, you know, not to go too deep in the weeds, I think Jim Schwartz was a first-time head coach and made some mistakes. And I think I've always thought that if he had gotten a second chance, he would have had a real chance to have learned from what he did the first time. There were a lot of things to like about him when he got let go in Detroit, but he never really got that second chance. Learned from what he did the first time. There were a lot of things to like about him when he got let go in Detroit, but he never really got that second chance. And Jim Caldwell, look, anybody who knows him knows he's one of the finest gentlemen you'll ever meet, and he did a really good job here. Won games 11-5 in 2014. One other thing I'll add about that 2014 is that they had a chance to win the division in the final week against Green Bay. And lost the game. And that was a tough one. So, but look, I just all in all, like I said, I believe you're getting a good man. I think you've got a lot of exciting things in place there already. And I think he can come in and supplement that.
We're talking to Dan Miller, voice of the Detroit Lions. You're a native Washingtonian, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Grew up Northern Virginia.
Yep. Grew up in Reston.
Yeah. And was a part of 980 in the early years as Doc's partner in the afternoons. By the way, the team just made it official. Martin Mayhew is the general manager. A press release out from the team, and in the first line, they make it very clear: Mayhew will report directly to head coach Ron Rivera. This is Dan. You know, the Seattle, Kansas City, New England model. Rivera is the number one football guy. It's a coach-centric model, and Mayhew. And if they bring in Marty Herney, are all going to report to Rivera on the football side. I want to talk about your team and Matt Stafford, because there have been so many conversations here since the season ended 2 weeks ago about quarterback next year. I've always been a massive Stafford fan. I think he's a gamer. I think he would have been a big time winner in a lot of other organizations. A, do you agree? And B, do you think Dan Campbell and the Detroit organization, this new organization that you have, will move on from him?
A, I 100% agree. I'm a huge Stafford guy. And I do believe that one of the things that they have not been able to do here is put the requisite team around him that where the stars, as I mentioned a moment ago, just haven't aligned. If you look at, okay, go back to 2011 and you have Jahvid Best, who looks like really what you've been looking for at running back since Barry Sanders, an explosive big play guy. He gets hurt. Basically his career's over. Stafford's never had a running game. And that just at its core, I think, is one of the things that you look at with Matthew. The team has been better than 23rd in the league in rushing one time since he's been here. Defensively, for the most part, outside of 2014, they haven't been good. Last couple of years, they've been miserable. So I think I don't think he's Aaron Rodgers. I don't think he's Drew Brees. I don't think he's Tom Brady. But I think he's that next tier down where you have to build the kind of team around him that supplements his abilities to the point where you can win in the postseason. And I believe he's good enough to, although he hasn't, win playoff games and win a Super Bowl, but you got to have the right team around him. Starting with a heck of a defensive line like you got in Washington would be a good place to start. So there's been talk here about, okay, where would Matthew look good? Indianapolis, Washington, places like that. So that's the talk.
Do you think they're going to trade him?
Yeah, that's your second question. I don't know. I really have no idea. And if you ask me in 15 minutes, I might have a different opinion than I have now. I would probably at this point lean, 52-48, they keep him. But it is entirely possible that they don't. There's a massive rebuild that needs to be done here on defense. So ultimately what needs to be looked at, the offense here is pretty good. There's some corner pieces there. and some building blocks there that they can really make work. But defensively, ultimately, what Brad Holmes, the new general manager, and Dan Campbell, the new head coach, have to look at and ask is, with the assets that we have, and they're not sitting on a ton of cap space or a ton of draft picks, with the assets that we have, can you rebuild this defense in time for Matthew Stafford, who's going into year 13? Now, I still think he's got a lot of football left in him. If I was a team that felt like I was a quarterback away, and I think you guys are getting to that point, I think there's, you know, probably some other little pieces you need, but you would be awful dangerous with a guy like Matthew. I would be lining up to try to make a deal for him. And I think that's going to be one of the real interesting things of this offseason is to see, you know, obviously for us here in Detroit, what they do. And then for other teams around the league that are looking for a quarterback. And look, I've seen the same articles coming out of Indianapolis about, okay, here's the quarterbacks that we can add to this playoff-ready team, and Stafford is right at the top of the list. So I wish I could tell you that they're going to go one way or the other. We've just met these guys for the last 2 days having press conferences, but they're not going to show their cards at this point, nor should they.
You know, one thing, and because there's been a lot of conversation, I've had a lot of conversation on the show over the last couple of weeks about Stafford. You know, the one thing you look at, if you're just looking at box scores and statistics and you see he's played, you know, I think he played 8 straight years without missing a game. Then he played all 16 this year. He was actually off to one of the best years of his career in 2019 when he got hurt. But the thing that I remember, Dan, and correct me if I'm wrong, there were a lot of games that he played banged up and hurt. He was always available even with injuries. He was not a guy to miss a game without a serious injury. And I just wonder at 32, 33, 34, 35 years old if that becomes harder.
I think it's a question that has to be asked. It's a risk I would take based on what I've seen. I don't know that there's anything that appears to be degenerative to the point where it's something that's going to keep coming back. I think that was the question coming into this year where he had come off of 2 years of back injuries. But no, your take is 100% correct. Even this year when they were playing meaningless games at the end of the season, he was battling, you know, several different injuries, a rib injury, a knee injury, a thumb injury. He had a lot of things going on. And nobody could understand why he was going out there. But he was going out there for his teammates, and he was going out there because, as he put it at one point, I'm the quarterback of the Detroit Lions, and if I can play, I'm going to go play. But I will tell you, you know, in doing what I do, I have a Monday interview with Matthew Stafford every week. And there were a lot of Mondays where I would see him coming in there, and it was tough to get in there, and it was tough to sit down in the chair. But just like he showed up on Sundays, he was never late, showed up every time. I got nothing but respect for Matthew Stafford, his toughness, his dedication to the game, his talent, and, you know, be it here or be it there, and I'd much rather it would be here. I'd love to see him get a chance to win and be surrounded by the kind of team that I think he can really make cook. Look, I can't completely, you know, absolve him of blame and say that he is, you know, he's been perfect and it's all other guys' fault. Look, he's made some mistakes. There have been big games where he certainly could have played better. But on balance, I'd bet on Matthew Stafford.
Last one for Dan Miller. Follow him on Twitter at Dan Miller Fox 2. He's been in Detroit for a long time now. Voice of the Lions, play-by-play voice for the Lions on radio. Dan Campbell, I mean, I know that people there were ready to move on from Matt Patricia. Is that being received as a sexy hire in Detroit?
I think it's tough to, unless you're getting Urban Meyer or somebody like that, Detroit Lions fans have been through a lot. I don't know that we do sexy at this point. I think they're just, you know, they've been beaten up a little bit, beaten up a lot, had their heart broken a lot. I think he was a guy in his press conference that resonated with fans. I think they were kind of sitting back and saying, okay, show us what you got. Now you get even more into show us what you got out on the field. So I think that it wasn't perceived as a home run, but I think fans are in the mode of, okay, just show us what you can do. And I think that's kind of the way that, that people are looking at it. I think there's with Dan, and look, he was here for 3 years as a player, so we know him a little bit. And you're going to get a leader. You're going to get a fiery guy. I think that the coordinators that he hires are massive choices for him because he's got very limited experience, 12 games as an interim head coach with the Dolphins. So long way of saying I don't think people are dancing in the street here, but I don't think they're angry. I think they're just saying, show us what you got.
Thank you for doing this. I have always enjoyed catching up with you whenever Washington's played Detroit. I appreciate you doing this and giving us all the information on Mayhew. Right now, if you told me I get one or the other, I'll take Stafford, though. That, I think they, they'd be in a real good position with him.
Don't forget, Martin drafted him.
So I know.
Martin knows he needs a quarterback. Martin may go looking for making a call to some, you know, folks that he knows here in Detroit. So look, I'm not trying to send him your way, but I'm saying if you connect the dots, you guys absolutely need a quarterback, and I'm sure at some point that phone call will be made, not just by the Redskins, or I'm sorry, the Washington Football Team, but by Old Habits Die Hard, but by a number of people. So we'll see what happens, but you know, I wish Martin luck. I'm like I said, I'm thrilled for him, and I'm excited to see what he can do there.
Thanks, Dan, so much. Talk to you soon, hopefully.
You got it, Kev. Thanks, man.
Dan Miller, everybody. The voice of the Lions radio network, also with the Fox affiliate as the sports director for years, and was here to start his broadcasting career at 980. When we come back, let's get into these two championship games from a gambling perspective. Eric Zimny has been my guest many times. He runs the Charlestown Hollywood Race and Sportsbook. He is our guest next. I'll finish up the show with my smell test. Also, we'll take a few calls. I want your best bet of the weekend. It can be on either of the four teams, or it could be on the total in one of the games. You can start thinking about that. We'll take some of your calls to finish up the show on that. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980, team980.com. Eric Zimny is the Vice President of Racing and Sports Operations at Hollywood Casino and Sportsbook up at Charlestown. We've had Eric on the show before. I'm going to get to my smell test picks. Be the next to last. We only got three games left. I'm a little bit below 500. Still have a chance to get back to 500+, but I may have to take a couple of the totals this weekend. But Eric joins us right now. And before we get to these games on Sunday, what kind of year overall was it for most sports books, Eric?
Yeah, I mean, you know, holistically, obviously the retail books took a large hit, you know, being down for several months in the middle of the year. We're no different, but since we reopened up and feel like we've done it very safely, our volume has returned significantly, you know, to almost pre-COVID levels as far as dollars that are coming through. And in terms of the NFL season itself, yeah, I won't lie, it's been a pretty good one for the books. It's been like that, you know, pretty much everywhere. November was a very good month. December wasn't bad, not as good as November. And, you know, at least us with the way, you know, the Ravens went down to Buffalo, that's going to help a place like Charlestown. It's going to have a lot of Ravens-centric money. So, you know, but all in all, we've done the best we could this year. And like I said, we had two weekends left, so it's we'll make them count.
Yeah, September and October were not good. I sort of found that the public bettor, the John Q public bettor, did pretty well, but it came back there at the end, you know, especially in the postseason during that wild card round with, you know, the Colts covering and the Rams covering and winning outright and, you know, breaking up all the Seattle teasers. I'm sure that helped. Last week, you know, I needed the Rams, and I'm sure you did too. And they were alive there for a little while, but didn't get it done. But I'm sure Sunday was a pretty good day. You know, one of the things I've been curious about, and I haven't gotten an answer on this, is how have sports books handled home field advantage with respect to the point spread this year?
So it's an awesome question. And, you know, when you look at the numbers for this weekend, you see 3 and 3.5, and you think you almost tend to think inherently like they're treating it as normal. I mean, that's kind of, you know, you expect two even teams in these games. You expect about 3 points for home field. And that's kind of looks like what's been done. It's hard to imagine, though, that that's the reality of the situation right now. I know there'll be fans in Green Bay. There'll be some in Kansas City, but it's not what it would normally be. I've seen some predictive metrics that'll tell you that this year it's only been, about a half a point, per side in a game of the home team. So it's been less than it otherwise would be. But again, looking at those lines, it feels to me that this weekend it looks like it's a little bit normal.
So I want to make sure that I understood that. So you're saying that ultimately this year, the actual point spreads may have been impacted by about a half point on average based on there being very limited home field advantage?
Yeah, I'd say that's correct. It might maybe closer to a point.
Green Bay would have been 4.5 had we had a full Lambeau this Sunday.
Yeah, that's possible. Look, I think that's a little bit of a different situation, making Tampa Bay go to Green Bay when it's probably going to be 20 degrees in an environment that Green Bay is used to playing in.
Sure.
That's a little bit different. I mean, there are going to be 6,000 or 7,000 or 8,000 people there this year. I mean, at this game on Sunday, look, I'm not an NFL player, having not played in front of anybody for a long, long time, and then going into a stadium where there's 6,000 to 8,000 people, that's more certainly more disruptive than zero. If you look what happened in Buffalo, I mean, I don't think there's any question that the home field advantage there, played in Buffalo's advantage. And again, it wasn't a full stadium. So, yeah, during the course of the year when there wasn't anybody, I still think it impacted it by a point here and there, and probably more so for these games on Sunday.
Talking to Eric Zimney. Eric is the VP of Racing and Sports Operations at Hollywood Casino Sportsbook at Charlestown, which, by the way, if you're not doing anything for the Sunday games, great place. It's a really good sports book, and it's pretty close to most of us here in the DMV. I did want to ask you before I get to these two games specifically. College sports in particular, how much of this year was a challenge, with not knowing which games were going to be played and when? And now we're really seeing it, in college basketball, also seeing it in the NBA a lot right now. How much of a challenge has that presented in putting out a number?
And putting out a number, maybe not as much. What it impacts, I would say, is just the customer in general, because look, if there's a game I like, it really sucks to have someone drive out to your facility and just have the game be scrapped, 12, 15 hours ahead of time. But same challenges as normal with something like college basketball this year, where, there's so much turnover on the high level teams. You have so many freshmen, it's harder to make numbers for those games earlier in the season. Apparently it just always is. And that hasn't changed. NBA, hasn't really changed either on the basketball front. But college football was very strange, because you'd have these matchups that seem to come out of thin air, like the BYU Coastal Carolina game,
right?
It's like put on 5 days' notice. It's just it's wild. And when you have teams that are a little more developed like that, it's not as hard to put a number out as it otherwise would be. So not as challenging as you'd think.
What was the wildest situation caused by COVID this year? Was it the Denver-New Orleans thing where Denver didn't have a quarterback?
Yeah, that was definitely up there.
Because that line swung double-digit point numbers, right? I mean, I remember being, unfortunately, on Denver early in the week. I thought it was a good number, and it turned out to be the worst possible number of all time. But I remember that one specifically. What were the others that come to mind for you, if any?
Who knew Drew Locke was worth that many points on the
line, right?
But the Coastal BYU game was a big one, because, again, it turned out to be probably one of the 3-4 best games of the year, right, in college football.
Yeah.
And it was something that was just kind of sprung on people at the last minute. We wound up having, a fair amount of interest on the game. I don't think we would have – or, I mean, I think we probably would have had a little bit more. I mean, those were 200-feet teams at the time. If you can have a game like that, even though they're not Power 5 teams, I mean, you can – certainly build some hype into a game with 2 undefeated top 15 teams, and you weren't really allowed to do that when it was just kind of sprung on you like that. So yeah, the NFL was that situation with Denver New Orleans game was kind of emblematic. I mean, you always are worried about entire position groups getting wiped out by something like this, and a situation like the one you ran into, not uncommon.
Just out of curiosity, did you need Cleveland last week?
They definitely helped us, yeah.
Yeah, I figured as much, and it was sort of one of those all-time lucky covers because all hell broke loose when Mahomes left the game. All right, let's talk, and we're talking Eric Zimney. Eric's the VP of Racing and Sports Operations at Hollywood Casino and Sportsbook in Charlestown. All right, let's talk about the two games. Where is the volume of action? Where's the money on the first game, the Tampa Bay-Green Bay game right now?
Yeah, so we have liability on both 3 and 3.5 to Green Bay. I mean, that line started at 4.5. It's kind of ping-pong back and forth between 3 and 3.5 the last couple of days. You know, you may see another, you know, it's at 3.5 now. You may see another movement down to 3. But liability to Green Bay on both sides there, whether it's 3 or 3.5. We have our largest average bet, I think, as far as the mainline ones, is on the over in that game, over 51.5. And, you know, we actually have big liability on Tom Brady to score the first touchdown in that game, which is
you have
wild.
What?
Yeah, it's kind of wild. I mean, you think Devonta Adams, I think if you bet him first touchdown since week one, I think you're up like 25 units on the year or something like that, something wild like that. And Tom Brady's been popular for the first touchdown, but yeah, Green Bay's taking the money.
So you need under in Tampa in that one. What about the second game?
Second game is it's a lot trickier just because of where the numbers started. We started at Buffalo -1. A lot of places started at pick on a Sunday night when it became, you know, ours moved quickly. It became more and more apparent that Mahomes would probably play. So we have exposure on KC at -2.5 and -3, but we actually have exposure on Buffalo at 3.5.
Boy.
So there's a, yeah, exactly. So I don't think that number, I'd be surprised if that number moved at this point. So I don't think the middle is going to get any bigger at 3 than it is right now. And it's not a huge number. It's not ideal, but something you can kind of swallow. But 2/3 of the money line dollars are on Buffalo right now. And that's really the biggest single straight bet liability we've got going into the weekend.
That does not surprise me. I would bet there's some pretty meaningful money line action on Tampa as well, right?
Believe it or not, we're it's not it is actually flipped on Green Bay in that game, despite Green Bay being, you know, in the -185/-190 range. But Bills have kind of settled at +145. Went straight up, and that's definitely our biggest liability. Like I said, not 2/3 of the bets, 2/3 of the dollars too. So when you've got a disparity in the money line like that, that's going to create a situation where Buffalo winning outright is going to cost us some.
Any need for you on the total in that game or not?
The public's, at least in our books, I mean, the public's leaned under in that game. Not huge, but that, again, that's a total that, with us at least, moved upwards a little bit over the course of the week. But under 54 has been the lean for the public in our books.
Isn't that always so? I mean, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but the recency impression is always so profound. I think last week Kansas City and Cleveland playing a way under game at 22-17, Baltimore and Buffalo at 17-3. The public really does, you know, gain it is impressed very much by recent results, because that game a couple of weeks ago, I think the public would have been all over the over.
Yeah, I don't disagree. Look, at the end of the day, those two offenses are pretty dynamic. Despite, like, the Buffalo game against the Ravens was, I obviously wasn't there, but it looked as windy as it could have looked.
Sure.
And that has to affect. I know Josh Allen's got a huge arm, but it's got to affect a guy like that throwing the ball. And obviously when Mahomes went out in the KC game, that really changed the dynamic of that game big time. I mean, they weren't going to score only 22 points if he doesn't go out of the game. So I agree with you wholeheartedly. It's also a pretty typical situation where it seems like the dog and the unders aligned, much like it is in the other game where the favorite, the overs aligned. You tend to see that correlation a lot.
Sure.
No different this Sunday.
Last one, other than rooting for your exposure to come through, do you have a personal hunch on either one of these two games?
You know, not really. What I'll say with the Tampa Green Bay game is that if you look at a lot of purely objective computer, you know, models, a lot of ones that I follow or see, it's not a 3.5-point game. It's much less than that. And it's really, to me, a true that it's like the eye test versus math test almost in that game, because look, eye test wise, how can you look more impressive than Green Bay's look recently, especially on offense? And you know, on the objective side, you know, there's, I'm sure, people who like Tampa, and if you're a model-based person, there's probably pretty good reason to like Tampa. So that's the game I'm intrigued with the most, to see which end there wins out. I mean, Green Bay just looks unstoppable to me, and I don't know, maybe Tampa has some karma with Brady going there, and I'm just looking forward to both games, man. I mean, I think these are two pretty evenly matched up sets of games, and you know, no result would surprise me here.
By the way, in college hoops, can you make a number high enough for Michigan to get people off them? I mean, they're just annihilating people other than the Minnesota game, which was the outlier. I don't know what they are against the number, but betting college hoops, it seems like I thought Wisconsin at plus 2.5 against Michigan last week looked like, you know, the sharp side, the anti-public side, and they were down 40 in that game. I mean, it seems yep. like with Michigan, I don't know if there's been a better covering team this year. You could probably correct me if I'm wrong, but they've got to be somewhere in the neighborhood of 75-80% against the number, right?
They're way up there. I'm surprised that they're still kind of hovering at 9-10-1 to win the whole thing. You know, good time. We're actually launching a sportsbook app in Michigan today at about noon, so we're going to put that to the test. I'm sure we're going to have a lot of Michigan action over the course of the weekend, the next few weeks up there. But no, you're right. They look like a pretty dynamic team, and doesn't happen often where Michigan's better than Michigan State, or at least you're more confident on them going into the tournament. But 9 or 10 to 1 on them right now looks like it's pretty square.
Thank you for doing this. I love our conversations. Really appreciate it. Eric Zimney, VP of Racing and Sports Operations at Hollywood Casino and Sportsbook at Charlestown. If you want to go hang out in a sports book that's close by on Sunday for the two championship games, do it. It's a really good-looking sports book. It's a lot of fun. Thanks, Eric, as always. I'll talk soon with you.
Thanks a ton, Kevin. Appreciate it, man.
Eric Zimney, everybody. My smell test, when we come back, we'll also open it up for calls. I want your best bet of the weekend of the two championship games. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. The numbers are really simple. We'll take them at 3.5 in the NFC championship game with a total of 51.5. And Buffalo right now is a 3-point dog. Kansas City a 3-point favorite with the total at 54. Best bet of the weekend, 301-230-0980 in my smell test when we return. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980, Team... All right, I've got 4 smell test picks, and if you're listening to Eric Zimney and his exposure in the sports book up at Charlestown, they match up with the information I've been getting all week as to where the public action is, and there's some sharp action working on my sides as well. The funny thing about the smell test this week is, personally, if I were using my own evaluation, my own gut feel, I'd probably go against most of my bets, but that's not the way the smell test works. For those of you who know, you understand, my admission here is that I don't know enough when it comes to gambling, but I believe the house does. And so I want the side that Eric Zimney at Charlestown needs. I want to know where his exposure is, and I want to bet on that side, not against that side. Tampa Bay is the first play in the NFC Championship game. Plus the 3.5. I've been looking for, you know, a plus 4 number somewhere, but I'll take the plus 3.5 with the Bucks. I really love the way Green Bay's playing. Like, I watch Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams and Aaron Jones, and I think, you know what, this just feels like an Aaron Rodgers year. The weather for Lambeau, by the way, cold, maybe whatever snow they have ending by kickoff there. But, you know, those things are always subject to change. But I like Tampa Bay plus the 3.5 in that game. And then in that game, I will also go under the total. Eric Zimney needed Tampa and the under, and that's where I am going as well. There seems to be a lot of overaction. It's not because of the weather, the weather wouldn't concern me in this. In fact, a lot of people understand at this point, if it's not wind, if it's just rain or snow, sometimes the points go even higher because it's harder for the defense. But the public is on the over in this game. I will take under in that game. Under 52, okay? On Gambit, it's 52. By the way, this segment today brought to you by Gambit DC, you know, the DC Lottery's new sports book. Go download it today at GAMBETDC.com to access spreads, money lines, over unders, live in game betting, all at your fingertips. It's sports only better. Second game, really, my first instinct earlier this week was I like the Bills, but the public is on Buffalo in this game. I will take Kansas City laying the 3 in this game, and I will go over the total in this game at 54. So there are the four plays. Tampa Bay plus 3.5, under Tampa Bay, Green Bay, 52. Kansas City laying 3, and then over 54. In that game. Why am I giving you the 3? Because that's what I have right here on multiple sites. You can go ahead and try to get me at 3.5, but I'd buy it to 3 anyway. So Kansas City minus 3 over 54. Tampa Bay plus 3.5 under 52. Those are the four wagers this weekend. As always, this is for entertainment purposes only. What's your best bet of the weekend? Let's go. We'll start with where are we starting here? James, go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call, brother. We are Washington. My best bet, man, is Green Bay first half, -2.5, man. If you want to risk it, take them on the money line as well, man. Y'all have a great day.
All right, great. Thanks for the call. First half, Green Bay -2.5. Anthony, best bet of the weekend. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
My best bet, I'm taking Buffalo in the points, and Mr. Mahomes is going to wave on his way out in the first half. He's going to get knocked out again. I hate to say it, but that's what's going to happen.
Well, that's a wild prediction. Thank you for that one. By the way, both games, really, like in analyzing both games without the gambling component to it, which always is part of my perspective. But I just think Green Bay's been playing at a very high level. I also think that Tampa Bay offensively is going to face a defense that is not comparable to the defense they faced last week in the Superdome or even the defense they faced in the wild card round here in D.C. I think it's going to be easier for Tampa Bay to move the ball offensively in this particular game. I think they can chew up the clock. You know, one of the ways that Minnesota beat Green Bay at Lambeau was they ran the football. Would not be surprised to see, you know, a big combined day from Fournette and from Ronald Jones. In the other game, you know, to me, Kansas City has not played well, you know, for a while. And Buffalo is coming off its worst offensive game of the year, and the wind had a lot to do with it. I think we could easily see a shootout in this game. Something that ends up in the 38-31 range. Galdi is standing by. Do we have Al ready for a handoff here or not?
Yeah.
You there, Galdi?
Hey, what's going on? You got me?
I got you now.
All right, buddy.
What do you got on the show?
Yeah, Ben Standing coming up at 10:15 on the breaking news. A new general manager. It's not Marty Herney, so where does Marty fit in? Is Kyle Smith done? We'll get into all the ramifications of the big news today.
Are you with me? And that is, the big news will be when they trade for Matt Stafford. That's going to really get me excited.
Or Deshaun Watson. Yeah.
Yeah, or Deshaun Watson, or Sam Darnold, or they draft Kyle Trask or Mac Jones. Got to get
quarterback matters more than anything. There's no doubt about that.
All right, Galdi's next. I'm back on Monday to recap the two championship games. I'm sure we'll have more news. Ian Rappaport reporting, as are others, including Ben Standing, that an announcement about Marty Herney will be coming a little bit later on today. So stay tuned for Galdi. He's got Ben on the show. Have a great weekend, everybody.